Third, reading books or magazines about Mary. Every community should have at least one Marian magazine in its library. Immaculata immediately comes to mind. There are many others. Unfortunately, so many of these Marian magazines are, well, they are small circulating. They don't have maybe more than 1,000 or 2,000 subscribers. They're also tied in necessarily with some organization. For example, the De Montfort Fathers, or the Miraculous Medal magazine. Some organization which uses the magazine as promotion. And you will find lists of benefactors and things like that in the magazine, which they have to do in order to keep going. But they often have some very fine and insightful articles. At any rate, I recommend. The best Marian library in the world, in English, is at Dayton University in Dayton. I would suggest writing to them. They taught me in high school, and they almost got me to join them. I don't know how I ever resisted. And the Jesuits, who made no effort, in fact, they weren't too anxious to get me. I joined. But the Marianists, as they're called, have a library of Marian books, and I presume periodicals too. If you would write to the brother or the priest in charge of the Marian Library in Dayton and ask him if he could obtain, maybe if some one person would write, Sister Catherine, maybe, what if we wrote just to know the thing exists? Would it be worth visiting? Dayton is some distance away, but it's really just to get a bird's eye view of the thousands of books on Our Lady. If we could get a list, sister, and pay whatever it costs, necessary even to photograph their accession titles, would you think it would be a good thing to have and keep up to date? And with the present Holy Father, who is certainly eager to promote devotion to Our Lady, this is even the spirit of the present pontificate. So, a certain amount of spiritual reading, I would say almost by rule, should be on Our Lady. And we now have, as you know, so many wonderful shrines about which Lord itself has hundreds of books written about it. But then various aspects, there are communities devoted exclusively to the devotion to Our Lady. We have the Miraculous Medal, we have Our Lady of Guadalupe, we have feasts. In the Eastern tradition from which I come, my mother was Byzantine, I have found out, and I just wish we were a little closer to that. Every single day of the year, there is a feast of Our Lady under some title.
When the Cistercians have always celebrated the Lady Mass every day. They call it the Daily Mass.
Mm-hmm. Well, these are things that I think we should pay more attention to and encourage our priests, for example, say votive Masses of Our Lady, and not just on Saturdays, but other days too. It's the sort of thing that should get, as it were, into our lifeblood more than it has, I'm afraid, in many cases so far. Fourth, asking Our Lady for light. In other words, invoking Mary in order to obtain her insight or understanding of the person of Christ. Who better than his mother knew Christ? Mary teach us to know Jesus. Invocations can be found, passages can be put together. I've been working for several years on the revision of a prayer book that I published, some of you have seen, which needs to be revised, but I just never managed to finish the revision. I've now got a person with terminal cancer working on it. Hope she finishes before she dies. And a few of the prayers are to Our Lady, asking her for the light that we need. Fifth, making a specialty of the study of authentic Marian revelations. Notice I say authentic Marian revelations. There are the ancient ones, there are more modern ones. There's Fatima, Lourdes, Guadalupe, Bohrain, and over the centuries, every country has some great Marian shrine. One of the pities in our country, do we have a single Marian shrine, who could tell me, at which we have authenticated revelations?
In the United States?
Yes, but I mean, is there any revelation in the United States to an American or to Americans which is a shrine built to honor the place of the revelation? Well, there are some, but I'm not sure that they are that well known. Are you familiar with the Our Lady of Consolation in Cary, Ohio? I'm not surprised. One of the first shrines that my mother took me to visit. Sometime I'd like to have a course, Sister Imelda, on shrines of Our Lady. Just, you know, wonderful throughout the world. The United States has very little of this. There's one down in Louisiana. But
I'm not sure I understand what you mean. Do you mean that our Blessed Mother appeared there?
Yes. Like at Lourdes or at Fatima, you see? Now this says something also about our country. We are not a pilgrimage or shrine-inclined people. And you know why? We are too top-heavy.
Do you hear about Mesita and ones that aren't?
Well, yes, but I think they are desperate efforts, you might say, to arouse people's interest. I'm currently teaching a course on miracles in New York. And one half the course is lectures, the second half is reports from the students in meeting with people that have to be with around Greater New York who have alleged apparitions, including Our Lady. And it's pitiful. The one, for example, you've heard about Bayside, which is certainly not authentic. About 10 years in operation. The woman, Veronica Lucan, is very ill, bedridden, and not able to appear at Bayside. These two fellows, two of my students, because it's part of their class, they are visiting, they're interviewing, they're studying the situation. They told me the other night, and the weather was bad, there are about 1,200 people, busloads of people, came to Bayside, spent about an hour and a half saying the rosary, singing hymns to Our Lady, even though Veronica was not there. They believe, and I think mistakenly, that Our Lady did appear there. It's on the World Fair grounds, as you may know. So people are hungry for this. And in the absence of the authentic revelations, people will take to things that are not even true.
What about this Cherry, Ohio?
Well, it's Our Lady of Consolation. There's a story about that, but I was a child. In fact, I remember because we stayed there two nights. It's the only time in my life that I slept in a church. My mother prayed, and she figured I ought to get some rest, so she stretched me out on the pew while this is the way I was brought up. So I got my start early, spending two nights in the pew of a Marian shrine. But I think we should know more about this, and I'm talking about bishops and priests, you know, who just seem not to have, I don't know what it is, and God help our country, especially when our bishops come back from the Senate. Pray. Pray as you've never prayed before. My instincts tell me we're going to be in great trouble. Because our bishops give a very poor example of loyalty to the Holy See. I wish I didn't have to say it. And this, in fact, all the modern Marian revelations, every one of them, the genuine ones, right? Penance, prayer, and expiate especially for the sins of those who are consecrated to the Lord. In other words, the leaders among the people must take the dish. And we cannot think... Please?
Not one of our bishops
was loyal? Well, there were the representatives with our leader, Archbishop Quinn. Later on, he, as you know, well, he explained himself so that he really believed in Humanae Vitae. But you read the full 15 pages, which he did not give at the council, but he presented to the bishops, the full text. He wants Humanae Vitae re-examined. You can't say that. You can't say that. You don't re-examine infallible teaching. What I'm saying is that our country, we happen to be here. We could be in another nation, right? There's a lot of sophisticated unbelief here. And talking to my European friends, of whom I have many, seeing what's going on here, they say to themselves and they tell me, how long can this go on? So to cultivate, first of all, to know about these Marian revelations and shrines. And I repeat, the Holy Father is the first one to recommend it. America needs Our Lady. And I would like to add, desperately. Brother?
I was going to say, Father, you're speaking about the bishops they gave a poor example. We only hear on the very small pieces of not very good information, you know, in the media.
Well, no, brother, I do not go by what the media
says. No, I'm sure you don't, Father, and I'm not saying you are. I'm saying, I would think that it's only a very small majority of bishops.
Very small minority. Well, brother, you're right. But that, I'm just saying there's trouble.
Yes.
There's trouble.
Yes, I know.
There's trouble.
I understand.
And it's Our Lady. Remember, this is what happened at Lepanto. This is how we got our feast of the Holy Rosary. At that time, it was the Muslim. Remember the Muslim threat. Then way back in the 13th century, the Albigensian threat, remember under St. Dominic. Our Lady has been the great protector against error. Right? And finally, to make sure that no matter how indisposed a person may be towards devotion to Our Lady, how to imitate, to have some special forms of Marian piety. You might say, what has Marian devotion to do with imitation? Well, if I practice no devotions, the odds are I will not have the insight necessary to even know that I should imitate Our Lady, let alone imitate her. In other words, there should be in every community, and from the beginning, to find out what Marian devotions has this person practiced, and you may find none. Whether they're prayers, little acts of piety, sacramentals, medals, forms of mortification, and you all know me by now well enough to know that from childhood I was brought up to abstain on Saturdays. All I can tell you is, by the time I grew up and realized what I was doing, something happened to me, right? I would either have decided to give it up, that I'm a grown boy now, or I would use such intelligence as I have and rationalize my conduct and then try to act accordingly. Right? So devotions to Our Lady, this is my last item, I think are important in imitating Our Lady, because quite frankly, the one we love, we strive to what? Imitate. Okay? And there are various ways of showing that I love Our Lady. That's what I'm talking about. Devotion has been defined theologically as dedicated love. And if sometimes the forms of devotion may seem a little strange or unusual, we don't consciously try to make fools of ourselves, but when we're dealing with matters of faith, love is sometimes, I don't say irrational, but super rational. To watch two people who seem to be in love behaving on the subway, all I can tell you, it is not all that rational. You say silly things, and Newman, who is a great intellectual, had a lot of trouble for years with a Catholic devotion to Our Lady, until it dawned on him, Newman, don't be silly, he told himself. When you're in love, you act strangely. I'm not telling you to act strangely or encourage people to act that way, but there were small acts of piety which may be done very privately, but expressing my dedicated love. And so far, on Our Lady.
This concludes Father John Hardin's talk on the subject, Imitating the Virtues of Our Lady.